This is a Bivocational Preacher Podcast, episode number 4. Welcome to the Bivocational Preacher Podcast. I'm Ronnie, and I'm here with my co-host,
Chris Paradise.
And we're here talking about bivocational pastoring issues, preacher issues. You know, this is not just for the bivocational pastor, but also those men of God that sit among the pews called by God and yet are looking to serve Him in any way possible and work a vocational job. And I firmly believe these are the backbone of God's ministry and what God does in the church in many aspects and what we see God doing in the church. We have our first guest tonight, Chris.
Yeah.
Someone that's come in with us. This is Brother Buster Fox. Brother Buster, it's good to have you with
us
tonight.
Good to be here.
All right. And we've enjoyed fellowshipping before the podcast and everything, and so getting to know each other. Brother Buster, you know, what we sit here and in are doing today was birthed in a happenstance meeting with you. I was doing some work here at the church, and I'm constantly running down to the Ace Hardware, which is right down the road from us. And so I run in there one day, and I met you a few times, but I struck up a conversation with you with the intent of leading you to the Lord, because you looked as lost as a ball in high waves. But I come to find out that you were a pastor, and then that you were obviously you're working at the Ace Hardware, a bivocational pastor.
That's right.
And we began to talk about that and talk about all the difficulties. And I'll be honest with you, Brother Buster, I look forward to every time I made excuses to go to Ace so I could sit and talk with you, because, you know, oftentimes when you're in bivocational ministry, it can be very, very lonely.
That's right.
It can be a place where you don't have, because you can't break off at 10 o'clock and go to the preacher fellowships,
yeah,
and you can't make the conferences during the day and things of that nature. And so a lot of times it can be a lonely road. And so to have a friend like you be there and to talk about, but we began to talk about,
that's right,
I think you had mentioned one time about getting a gathering of some sort of bivocational preacher. Do you remember that?
Yes, I sure
do. Can you elaborate on what you were, we were talking about? I don't know.
To have a fellowship to on a Tuesday night's what I was thinking about, mm-hmm, where the bivocation preachers can come, pastors can come that wants to help,
mm-hmm,
have a little dinner afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was talking about.
Yeah, just something where we could get together and hold each other up.
That's right.
Because oftentimes a lot of those, you know, I mean, a lot of those fellowships and things like that, they happen during the day. They happen, yeah, in the morning hour, when oftentimes, you know, us guys are, our bivocational guys are at work. But
right,
from that, you know, spawned the idea of maybe one day doing something like this, where I'd create a website where, you know, we'd try to put things out there to help people. And then also, you know, do a podcast like this to try to help folks. And so thank you. You know, thanks for being there and talking to me about that. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on today, because you, well, I'll tell you what, let's start out with, you know, where you're from. Give us a little bit of background. You know, I know you said earlier you were called to preach when you were 14 years,
yes, sir,
old, but
yes, sir,
just tell us a little bit about yourself.
I was 14 years old. God called me to preach, and 23 years. We started pastoring after 10 years of just going house churches, and, mm-hmm, and God blessed us through that. And we went there and at the House of Prayer, mm-hmm, and worked there. God blessed to work for 9 years,
mm-hmm,
and I'm thankful for that. And I worked every day, 6 days a week, mm-hmm, worked third shift at the time,
sure,
and God just blessed us.
My
and
goodness.
What a great time it was. I can't never want, that's my love of my church.
I
still love the church, not there no more,
mm-hmm,
but God's really blessed us.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's got to be tough. Third shift,
yes, sir,
in pastoring. I remember one summer when I was working in college, I had to work a summer job third shift, and I don't think I've ever slept the same since. Mm. You become a zombie, and you never sleep right again.
Well, yeah.
But, and then, so now you're pastoring Fairview.
Reliance, Tennessee.
Reliance, Tennessee, but you live in?
Crandall.
Georgia.
Georgia, yes.
So it's 35?
35 miles, one way.
My goodness. I love rolling out of bed into the pulpit where I live right next to the church. So yeah. I just kind of do my hair a little bit and I'm good to go.
There you go.
But, and so obviously today now, points in your ministry, at different points, you were a fully funded or a full-time, yes, as sir. People call it, full-time pastor. But now you are working bivocationally. Mm-hmm. And so it's at Fairview. Tell us a little bit about your church.
It is a old-time Baptist church. We no shame about that. Mm-hmm. God's really blessed us. It's a place where people just come and worship, an old-time preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, God's really blessed us through that. And we have one service on Sunday morning, no Sunday night service. And God's really blessed in that. Or Wednesday night crowd, God's blessed there. And I'm thankful that God's done that. Let me give you something to think about the churches, about bivocation pastors.
Mm-hmm.
If we do it for the work of the Lord, God blesses our hands. And I was going to share something about the third shift experience. Let me go back.
Yeah.
And third shift, I had to work Sunday nights going in and preach Sunday morning, Sunday night. And never did, fell asleep. Mm-hmm. God kept me awake through all that.
Amen.
And I look back now, it's put a lot of miles on me, a lot of gray hairs. But I'm thankful for that. But where I'm at now, I go up there and we just have a good time in God. And I just want to help people. That's the main thing.
You know, one of the things you said just then about, you know, what you needed at that time to accomplish the task of ministering the church and working the job, God supplied. One of my favorite texts is one in, and I'm going to go blank, I think it's in the book of Numbers or maybe in Deuteronomy, it's in Deuteronomy, where there is a text about the prophecy concerning the sons of Jacob. And one of the promises to the son, something as though, whatever the need of the day is, right, you'll have it. And it's translated into one of the songs that we sing, as thy days may demand, so thy strength ever be.
Right.
You know, yeah, when I looked at bivocational ministry, I thought I saw a mountain. How in the world am I going to be able to do this and do it consistently,
yeah,
and do it with the excellence that needs to be there, right, to be effective? And yet God has supplied again and again. Mm-hmm. And you know, you don't realize it until you look back behind you down the mountain, right, you're climbing, to see how God has met the need, and whatever the demand of the day, He's been there,
yeah,
to do that.
Absolutely.
And so that's a wonderful example, right, of that, Brother Buster. And so you're currently driving 35 miles one way,
right,
to pastor, and then you're also working down there. Now, do you work close to where you live?
23 miles.
Man. What are you driving? What are you driving?
Well, let's say a Chevrolet Malibu. Wiring the thing in.
Wearing it out.
There you go.
So you're bivocational in your ministry now. Now, I told you that as far as from what we're trying to accomplish to this, what mindset that we're to have is on the other end of this audio, whoever's listening to this right now, the idea person that is listening to it is someone that has just started bivocational ministry and has been called by God to a church, a small congregation who can't support a fully funded pastor. He's working a job and he's embarked on this journey to a place that God has called him, but yet he has all of a sudden seen the strain of how difficult it is, and whether he started to go on the internet, how do you guys do this? Or what are these how do you survive a bivocational ministry? However they stumbled upon this, someone out there is searching for answers on how to have success or how to even just survive by vocational ministry. And so I want you to, I tell you what, why don't we just take a few minutes, Brother Buster, and tell us some of the more difficult circumstances that you've come through as a bivocational pastor. What are some of the things that that other guys would say, man, I know what you're talking about. I'm bivocational. I've been there. And can you share some of those? And then we'll elaborate on some of the things that you can to help someone that's bivocational.
I found out in my pastoring that you need to honor the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And when trouble comes, a song, little as much, when God is in.
Amen.
There ain't nothing no better than letting the Lord work. You know, we got a family to deal with. I got two children. One's 18. Other one's going to be 8. And I got a wife. She's bipolar disorder.
Mm.
I've never shared that with you, I don't think.
Yeah, no, you haven't.
And try to deal with that plus pastoring.
Mm.
That puts a strain on a marriage. It puts a strain on the church, family. You know, when you look back, you say little as much.
Yeah.
God has never left me. I thought about the scripture God gave me at the house of prayer. Some have a compassion, making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps you going when you see a person that needs the Lord.
Mm.
You know, they sang a song, people needs the Lord.
Yeah.
Even pastoring is rough. You don't just get up and say, well, I want to be a pastor, especially when you have to work. You know, they go to seminary. There's nothing wrong with seminary, but they'll think, well, I get this pastor and it'd be good. And they get the salary and they get that. Sometimes it's not all just peaches and cream. It's rough.
Yeah.
You have to say, Lord, I need your help. Sometimes I went into church, Brother Brown, depressed. And you're facing church problems, it's on you, and you're thinking, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit just takes you and lifts you up.
Yeah.
And make you something.
Yeah.
And it ain't just the thing. I love to help people. That's why I work at the Ace Hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Not just because it's a job, but I see probably 150 or maybe that comes in. And we get to share it with the gospel, and I'm thankful for that. But when you have problems in a pastoring, don't give up.
Yeah,
just keep on, especially when you're there 6 months and the honeymoon's over. I've been there. I've been right there and seen people thought they're God men and women just turn their backs on me. And I've been there, but God seen me through that.
Yeah,
I look back now, I'm thinking, boy, 40 years, I'm 40-year-old. And I think, well, what can I do now? And I turn a chapter in my life when I hit 40 last year. God had my wife. You never know what she's going to do with her sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the Lord, the church where I'm at, had to go through it with me. She's doing good now, but in November she had a real bad time with it. It's sickness, and a lot of churches don't like that. You let a pastor wife or get sick or anything like that, they want to ask him, get rid of him.
Yeah,
and it ain't
when they don't fit the mold that they have in their mind of what. And that's so much, you know, so much of our wives feel that pressure from the church in the ministry.
Yeah.
And it's our duty to shield them as best as we can from that. You know, they're not, no matter what the billboards say, pastors such and such and his wife, I mean, my Baptist is coming out here, but the truth of the matter is, she's not a God called pastor.
Yeah.
Right.
And so she is a congregant.
Yeah.
When we're in this building she's not, I've heard people say, well, you're the first lady of the church. Well, there's no such thing. There's no such thing.
Yeah.
She is a person in the congregation and she is a sheep. just as much as right. any of them. And, but yeah, wow. And so she went through something like that yeah. in November, and your church was there supporting that's you through
100%.
That. 100%. And that's golden. It yeah. really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Brother Buster, I have a question. Brother Ronnie made mention a second ago that you were full-time at one point. Uh-huh. Did you happen to, were you part-time and you worked your way, the church worked your way to being a full-time pastor, or did you just jump right into a full-time ministry?
I took New Bethlehem Trine. They was full-time when I went.
Okay.
So I had to quit where I'm working at right now, mm-hmm. Ace Hardware. I had to give a notice. It took them 6 months to let me go, but but I was...
yeah, I was actually going to ask you, how was that transition from going from basically being bivocational to working your way into a full-time or a fully funded ministry? How did that work out?
It's a different area. I'll go ahead and tell you it's all different. But it went smooth for the okay. first year and a half, you know, because I'm used to working
yeah.
and you got all the time in the world, but there's more responsibility when you're full time.
Yeah.
You can't just lay in the bed and 10 o'clock. You got to get up, go visit the shut-ins and what you can do. From 8 to 5, being full-time, the vocation has to do it in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And sometimes he don't get to do that because he works till 7 o'clock right. yeah. every night.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you don't get to sleep in?
No, oh, not man. Being full-time.
What?
I don't know about all this, brother.
You don't get to play golf 2 days a week?
Why, no. They what? Never, I never did. There's a lot of folks out there plays it, but I never
listen,
did.
Listen, you know, I don't... And I'm trying to be careful. I've got good friends that are fully funded pastors. That
I've got one.
You've got one. I've got. Well, I mean, you know, I talk to Terry Trivett, one of my good friends, all the time, and he's fully funded, and you know, he is stretched to the max.
That's it.
Just as much as I am. He yeah. may be even more so.
Yeah.
And you know, I do good to pastor the 40 to 50 that I have.
Yeah.
You put 300 or 400 on that. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you still have hair, you know? And you know, it's hard either way.
Yeah.
I would like to have the opportunity someday to be yeah. able to see what that's like and to be in that kind of ministry. But, you know, God may never call me. God, I may not be able to be there. You know, and to be into that situation, but I'm not one that cavalierly, you know, that's all they do is play golf and, you know, they get it done in 3 hours and they work 4 hours and have 5 days off kind of thing like that. I'm not that way at all. I know there's stresses and there's pressures with right. that, that responsibility, just as much as anyone. But, and so when you left, what was the name of the church? When you left New Bethel, you went back into bivocational, or did you? How did that work?
Evangelist work for about 10 months, or about two year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You were telling me earlier that you had about 10 meetings a year or something like that.
About 10 meetings a year. God really blessed that. Mm-hmm. That when I left New Bethel, it was a time just to change, go back on the workforce. That was a little difficulty, mm-hmm. and but I went there. 10 meetings, preaching a bunch of there.
Yeah.
Different Sunday morning, Sunday nights, you know. People hear you if you're out, and they'll out of a pastor, they'll let you come.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how God worked out in Fairview.
Wow. And yeah. that's how you ended up at Fairview?
That's it.
Okay.
Somebody told my best friend, Brother Jim Mathis, and Brother Dewey, he works at a gas company. Mm-hmm. And, he delivered gas to the, and Brother Dewey said there was out of church without a pastor, and they needed a pastor that was really wanting a pastor. And mm-hmm. then Brother Jim said, I know one.
Yeah.
And that's how it started.
And isn't it good how God works that yeah. out, you yeah. know? That's great. I my name was given to the deacon here at this church by a fellow church member that used to come here, and they were in a conversation and offered my name, and it was life-changing. You know, just one conversation, you know, changed my life. And in the 8 years that I've spent.
That's how it happened with me too. At Mariah. Yeah. My dad was actually talking to Pastor Lynn, and Pastor Lynn was like, our youth pastor just resigned. We're in desperate need of one. He's like, well, funny you should say that.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out. Kind of worked out that way for me as well.
Yeah, you'd
so
almost think like God was doing that.
Yeah.
Brother Buster, a lot of years in bivocational ministry and a lot of experience with that, a lot of ups and downs. And no one could say you've had an easy road in what you've gone through, but God has been there with you every step of the way.
Yeah.
What I want you to give us a little bit of example, maybe talk about some of the things that you would advise and that you would counsel a young man going into a bivocational situation. Mm-hmm. What would you have him guard his life against? What would you have him pursue mm-hmm. in bivocational ministry? Oftentimes, you know, one of the things that... If you weren't going to be here tonight, Chris and I was going to talk about success. I wasn't sure, you know, things come up. And so right. I had a backup plan. We were going to talk about success. And I think one of the most detrimental things is in bivocational ministry is a skewed perception of what success is. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I think that can really, you know, a young preacher can look at all these churches around them and he struggles in what he's doing and feel himself a failure by just wrongly perceiving what success is. But yeah. I want you to talk about, you know, what you would advise a young minister fixing to take on a bivocational type role, what he should protect, what he should do. What are some key things to keep in mind as he does that?
Okay. Number one, you need to go slowly into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, when 23, like I told you earlier about the house of prayer, I went into it and I had to work, and I found out over about 6 or 7 months a year, I was leaving my family out. Mm. And that's the downfall of a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could put all our ministries together, and if we leave our family out, we're going to kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, just be slow, don't hastily, just one night a week, hey, I'm going to go visit. Don't overstep it. Just ask the Lord to help you in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you need to do. And it's no instance if you, like one when I thought house of prayer, I worked all night on Saturday night. I had to come in the pulpit on Sunday morning. And that was one of the trying to study, work that night, go back in there. And my wife looked at me and said, honey, you don't need to go this morning. I said, I've got to fulfill the pulpit. And I had 6 preachers at the time. I could have let them, but I was obligated. I felt like I was obligated to go, and I went to sleep driving to the church. And my wife said, no, you're going to go home and you just need to, you know, take the steps. If you have to work, the church knows that. And don't let it be a stress for it. Just let God. And that's what's wrong. I feel like a lot of churches and a lot of pastors, they put the stress on themselves. You know, our homes is the key mm-hmm. to the church. And if the home ain't satisfied, and if your kids, if you forget your kids, you've got nothing in the ministry. I don't think, maybe I'm wrong. You know, if you let your kids go and live their life and never get saved, born again, you've lost everything.
Yeah.
You can gain the, I heard a preacher told me he's in heaven now. Brother Doug Brandon said this many years ago. He said, son, Buster, if you forget your family, you can save the world, you've gained nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I look back now, I've learned to slow down. And if I can't make it to the hospital, if I can't make it to the nursing home, if I can't make it to somebody's house, you know, if you work a long time, if you work till 7 o'clock
mm-hmm.
And where I live, it takes me 45 minutes to get there. If I'm at work, it takes me an hour and 10 minutes to get there. I have to leave there. I can call them. That's why we got phones.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, just be smart. Call them and tell them how you love them. You missing them. If they've been out, if they're in the hospital, tell them you're praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
And let folks know. Let the deacons know. You know, when you're sitting there talking, let them mm-hmm. know. Say, hey, I'm, you know it's not full time and I can't go. When I took Fairview, that's what I told them. I mm-hmm. said, listen, I work at the hardware store. I work to 7 o'clock every night. I said, but two nights a week, I get off early. And I said, I can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And they understand. And that's why I believe that's why God's let me, every church I've ever pastored, that's why they understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't put the stress on yourself. Oh, I got to be there at the hospital. You know, and rightfully.
A lot of bivocational preachers suffer from the big red S on their chest syndrome. I can do it all.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I can hold down this job. I can pastor this church. Oh, yeah, I got to be a dad too. But that's on the back burner while I'm up in front of everybody. And you will self-destruct.
Yeah.
You will self-destruct your family and your ministry.
I found out some things. If I look around and if the deacons of the church does their part. Now, this is something I want to say that may help you, may help those that's thinking about pastoring or maybe been asked to pastor a church. What is the deacon's job? And the deacon's job is to visit the widows, the orphan, not the pastor. The pastor's supposed to study and preach God's word, to be an encourager. How can you encourage people on Sunday morning or Sunday night that you're not fed yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And I found that many times in the Christian, in my life, if I'm not fed, guess what? I'm down. I'm not spiritual to others. But if I get in that book, it's time in that book, and where are you going to fit all that time in if you're spending out going hospitals, funeral homes? I'm not saying not go, not be lazy. But if you can't, you need to take some time for God.
Yeah.
And that's where we're standing
now. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole, that gets back. And, here in the South or a lot of the churches that I've haunted, the deacon is almost seen as some sort of manager role of the church or business type person. Mm-hmm. But, the deacon was made so that they might serve tables and so that the apostles could spend time in prayer in the study of the scriptures, to be able to teach the word. And so oftentimes it's seen as though, they're managers. If you've got a good godly deacon that is willing to do whatever, he is worth his weight in gold.
Amen.
To have someone like that. And, but oftentimes when a church calls a bivocational pastor, they have to know that, they're going to have to help this young person or help this man accomplish this and hold a job to be able to support his family and support the church as well. And so, the big red S syndrome will say, I can do it all. And if you do that long enough, they'll let you.
Yeah. Yeah.
They will. They'll get used to it.
Yeah.
And it needs to, you need to say, hey, there are certain things I can't do. And
take learn how to delegate.
Yeah. You have to.
Brother Buster, I have another question for you in regards to the some of the stuff you were just saying, and kind of going off of what one of our podcasts were a couple of weeks ago with time.
Mm.
How as far as like you preparing a sermon for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and having a full time job, how do you balance that as well? I mean, do you like sneak off in the corner at Ace and do some studying, or I mean, how do you do that? I mean,
well, let's see. No, I can't do that. But I study most in my car, and I've got a Now Bible. I don't know if y'all know what that is. It's just where they read it to you, and most of the time, God gives it to me about 5 o'clock Sunday morning. I get up anywhere from 2:30 Sunday morning, and time to get ready for church, I study then.
Wow.
I had to think about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've got outlines, which, I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. I got gold nuggets and stuff, and but I let the Lord lead me.
Yeah. You know,
sometimes I don't use one, but it is a time to study.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you'll go to you'll turn in on Saturday night around
about 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Yeah.
And get up about 2:30. Sometimes I stay up all night, and it according to what kind of message God wants me to give to the people. You know, I have went to bed at 9 o'clock, got up at 11 o'clock, and stayed up all night and just studying.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was when I was at the house of prayer, they made me a little study back there in the Sunday school room. Well, I put a desk back there. That's where I went. A preacher come by one of the churches. They asked me, knocked on the door and said, "Preacher, you know what time it is?" I said, "No, it's church time." I was still in my study. And I wasn't even ready to go. I had, you know, just regular clothes on. And it was 9:30. I was still studying.
Casual Sunday, right?
Just lost complete track of time.
Casual Sunday today, guys.
That's it.
Listen, that is the fastest I've ever seen arms on a clock move, is at about 4 or 5 o'clock on Sunday morning. It seems like 5 to 7 and 8 just go whoosh, whoosh, just fast as they can. They're gone. But yeah, that's similar to my schedule. Of course, I don't make quite 2 o'clock. I'll end up
probably lazy.
Well, yeah,
you guys wear me out.
Ellen Zine, brother.
No, I'll get up around 4:35 o'clock. I'll put my outline together around from 6 o'clock till 9 o'clock. I'll get a good firm hold on what I want, where I'm going, what I'm going to be doing, and then I'll get up and finalize it on Sunday morning. And so,
Brother Ronnie don't have outlines or manuscripts.
Oh, so. Yeah, I seen it. He sent me a book thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, good grief. I'm a simple man. I don't have them big outlines like you, brother.
Well, some people need a bigger crutch than others. Let's put it that way. So I need a bigger crutch. Think of it that way. You know, as far as your advice and how you would advise a young person in this ministry, guard your family. Is there something else? Maybe, are there what tips? I know you said lean on your deacons, lean on people that called you to that church. They know that you're bivocational.
Right.
They don't expect the world from you. They expect you to do the best you can, and they're there to help you.
Right.
Or they should be there to help
That's
you.
That's it.
You know, every situation is different.
Yeah.
And, but in most of the cases, if you've got people that have called you, they've selected you, they wanted you there,
right.
And they're going to be willing to help you. Anything else? What about things that you draw, people you read after, books as far as supplemental to your study of the scriptures, you know, resources that you use that are helpful?
Well,
I know you mentioned Golden Nuggets,
right?
And those are really good. Mm-hmm. I think they still publish them, do they?
Yes,
don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah,
yes, they do.
The Golden Nugget series is just a book basically of outlines, and they're pretty good.
They're real good.
Mm-hmm.
But the only thing that fars in my study is those. Mm-hmm. I don't have, but I've got the scripture, the Word of God. And I got a concordance, and just ask the Lord. I've got two or three books I love to read after M.R. DeHaan. I don't know if you know him.
M.R. DeHaan.
And his writing, they're real good. I don't follow too much. I like to dig in the scripture, find out something that the God wants for them people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feed them. I'm like a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about asking, you know, what else could you say to a preacher when you... When you think about it, you can't ever ask that book. That book's, you can turn to Genesis 1, you can preach it for a Sunday, then go back to it next Sunday, you'll find something new.
That's right.
And
that's right, the inexhaustible nature of the God's Word. Amen.
We need the Word, and don't the word I'm trying to look, don't get discouraged on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're not seeing your church grow. Let's talk about church growth.
Yeah.
How do you grow a church? Be slow to speak. Ask God every day to fill it. Enlarge your coast. Pray that God. One of my favorite verses, Psalms 37, verse 25. I was young, but now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread.
Mm.
God will fill your church up. Just love your people. It takes a church, takes on the pastor for the first 2 or 3 years, they're getting to know it. You don't get respect overnight, and don't go in trying to change it.
Yeah.
You need to just kind of be slow. I need to change it right now. I don't like it. Well, you can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, they'll run you off, and then you say, well, preacher, I got run off. No, you want to, my favorite word, it's not a word, stickability.
Mm-hmm.
The first church I pastored, they ran their pastor. They left pastor every year. They was gone. For 28 different men. They start 1952. When I got there, I was 23 year old. And my dad said, Buster, are you sure? And I said, Dad, yeah, I'm sure I'm going to take his church. So God opened the door, and I stayed there 9 years. And to this day, the Lord has let that name, not nothing I'd done, but I just learned by different men, Brother Guffey, Brother Lloyd Guffey. He told me about your, he said, be slow.
Mm.
Don't change it, just be slow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's a lot of pastors, they won't go in and change it, and it hurts them.
Yeah. I had a fella when I first came to this church that got up in my ear and said, hey, you need to deal with this person over here. They don't dress the right way. They're not presenting them. They're not doing the right thing. And he wanted me to bust heads. And I can't see me as a shepherd going in first thing and breaking lambs' legs.
Yeah.
You can't.
You just can't do that. And
it'll hurt you.
It'll hurt your ministry more. And, going in with guns blazing, and you'll turn around, you won't have a congregation long after that. And, that's a wonderful,
great advice.
Great piece of advice.
You can love your people. I found that if the people knows that you really love them,
mm-hmm.
you can preach it just as hard as you want,
mm-hmm.
and tell them in truth. Tell the word of God in truth, and when you stand, and they'll respect you.
Mm-hmm.
When you get down, I don't want to just browbeat my people.
Mm-hmm.
I preach hard. This mm-hmm. is one of the, I'm glad I got a voice tonight. Most time I cannot even talk on Tuesdays, but God's really blessed us. But you just love them. I mean, and when you find out that you love them and they love you, They can take that hard preach.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about loving your congregation, how would you say to express that love to them? Do you do that? There's a myriad of ways. But when you say love your congregation, love the people you are pastoring, what do you mean by that?
Okay, what I mean by that, if you take the like say somebody comes in and they're struggling, you know it, or might pick up the phone. They may have a rough day, and you with that phone call, you're working. You just got off from work. You're going down the highway. Pick up the phone.
That's when the most ministry. Yeah. A lot of times, that's the best time when you're between work and home. Burn that phone up.
Yeah.
Call them. Yeah.
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 And you can. And that way they know that they'll come to you. If you show your congregation that you care, you know, when they're family, like just saying if you're able to go to a funeral, this year or last year, I had a lady's sister to die.
Mm-hmm.
I was off of work, and her sister passed away. And she told me it was in vacation Bible school. Here we are in vacation Bible. I didn't get to go to the visitation, but I went to the funeral that day on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's turned that person that I didn't think that liked me mm-hmm. to every Sunday, "Hey, preacher, I love you."
Mm.
You never know how what you're going to do for somebody yeah. else.
Right.
You know, give them a, what about sending a card?
Yeah.
I used to do that years ago, and I failed this church that I'm at now in that area. I used to send cards out. You miss three services, you'd get a card. Mm-hmm. "Hey, I've been missing you, been thinking about you. Mm-hmm. I love you, sister, whoever, brother." That's the way I done it.
Mm.
And God really blessed that. It took me whatever stamp cost back in them days just to send out that, just a little, this will pick me up.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. I got a man that I can't remember his name right now, but his name is Alex. I sent him one out, and he said, "I've never been back at the church." And I sent him one out, and God changed that. And so you never know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just and taking advantage of a phone call and a note in the mail can really help a bivocational preacher who don't have time to pick up and go to a house, right. you know, and pick up and go and spend a whole evening away from home.
Right.
You can sit down for 5 minutes and write a card and may go even a lot further than a visit. That's great. That's really good. Well, as far as is there any closing things you wanna say? I know as a pastor in your sermon preparation, this and that. Is there any particular thing that you're reading now? Do you get the chance to read out and different books, anything like that that you're reading as far as supplementing your reading of the scriptures?
Okay. All right. The book that I love to read, and I can't remember the name of it. It's How to Feed My Sheep, and I don't remember the guy's name. I've read it two or three times.
Really?
And it helps you to feed the sheep,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the sheep hunger.
Mm-hmm.
And a church and a pastor is the one that God has ordained to feed that flock.
Mm-hmm.
And if the flock's not getting fed, their spirit ain't getting fed. You know, and I think about that. Who is our pastor? Mm. You know, we're giving it out.
Yeah.
And we have to give something back to them. And how do we get strength? Like I said, if we read more, the focus in my life is to be helpful to somebody else. But I got to learn how to be helpful myself.
Right.
You know, where I work at, the hardware, Ace is the place. Mm-hmm. We're the helpful hardware man. That's what they say. But I wonder how I can be spiritual helpful.
Right.
Three keys to me being helpful. Number one, to be like Christ.
Mm.
Number two, to honor him in everything I say, everything I do,
yeah.
and to walk like Christ.
Mm.
And that's the way I've lived my life.
Wow. That's great. That's great. Advice for the workplace, because that's a tough balance. We were talking about earlier about the workplace and about the conflicts that we go through there, and that adding to, you know, the family and the work and the weight of the ministry, carrying all that together, that can be a heavy load.
Right.
And drawing that resource from Christ, drawing from his saving life, can never be underestimated. It's essential.
Right.
If you're going to survive as a bivocational pastor, you have to have a healthy spiritual life,
right.
or you'll fall flat on your face.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Brother Buster, I want to thank you profusely for coming out tonight. It has been such a blessing to have you, and I know this is going to help some folks, and I know that God's going to use it to speak to young preachers that that are just hanging on by a thread. And it's going to give some insight of all of your experience and all of your years of ministry. What I want to thank you for coming out. And I really appreciate you coming. I did not know that you were coming up from Chatsworth. That is a long ways away. we're going to try to work out a way which we can interview pastors from through the internet or something like that, through over the phone eventually. But I'm glad our first one was here in the room with you. It's been great to fellowship with you. And so, well, I guess we're going to, Chris, you got any closing comments? Anything you want to add to this?
I just thank you so much, Brother Bus, for taking the time. Actually, I came in on two wheels tonight myself, so it was, it's definitely a challenge. But it means a lot that you were able to take time out to do this. And I'll be honest, I got encouragement tonight just by listening to your testimony and your words of encouragement. That was I really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna sign off tonight. Make sure if you're listening to this, make sure you get by and go by byvocationalpreacher.com and get on our mailing list, which will be on there very shortly. Probably by the time you hear this, I'm going to set us up a mailing list so you can be notified every new episode and everything that comes out. Going to be doing some blog posts and going to be putting some more resources out there on there because we want to help bivocational preachers. And you know, as you guys know as well as I do, there are those moments when you're worn thin down to, and a good golden nugget is going to be what you need. And so we're going to put some good golden nuggets on the bivocational preacher so we can help folks. But if this is, this has been a great podcast, let us know, stop in, make some comments, on this, on the blog and on the, make sure you go by and leave a review on iTunes. And I know it'll be a help. It'll also make this podcast to where other people can find it. The more reviews that we have in iTunes, the better able people will be to find this when they search in iTunes or in anywhere else. But we're going to sign off for now. I'm Ronnie Brown. And
I'm Chris Paradise.
And this is
Brother Buster.
Brother Buster, and we're good to have him tonight. And we'll see you next time on the Bivocational Preacher Podcast.